It's time now for our conversation starter for Pope's Drippies, which makes drip irrigation a breeze. Josh Jenkins is in the house. As always, he's going to kick us off this morning. JJ, good morning to you, and what do you got for us?
Good morning, Kano. Yeah, just we've just been having a nice little... We set it up before the news, and it's talking about whether Ash Barty winning this Australian Open, if and when she wins the Australian Open, is as good a performance as Cathy Freeman's Sydney 2000 Olympic performance, winning the 400-metre gold. Now, obviously, significant differences. You get the opportunity to win an Australian Open every year. The Olympics are once every 4 years. So, some differences. But interested in people's views as to whether it's an equivalent level of performance. It's certainly magnificent, if it happens. We don't want to put the slows on her, but... the thing that's been so impressive to me is the dominance that she's had. She's been untouchable throughout this tournament.
So there's an article in the Herald Sun, Scott Gullen, putting the two in the same conversation, and I guess that's what we're doing. You don't want to take anything away from it because of how significant it is. I mean, we've been crying out for some success at the Aussie Open for so long, and 78 is going back a long, long time. So to do that is going to be an unbelievable moment in the history of Australian tennis, but it's not as big as Cathy Freeman winning 400 gold in Sydney. There's a few sporting events in my lifetime where if someone says, "Hey, where were you when such and such happened?" You know exactly where you were. I'm not sure in 20 years' time if someone says to me, "Hey, where were you when Ash Barty won the Australian Open? And who were you with and what were your memories of it?" I'm not sure I'll be able to recite that. I couldn't do that with Cathy Freeman. And I reckon most people listening to us this morning, there was 112,000 people in the house. There would have been hundreds of millions probably watching across the world on TV. So it's not in the echelon of that in terms of historic Australian moments, I don't think. Interested in your thoughts, 0433 98 11 16. But in terms of tennis, it's going to be one of the more special moments that we've ever had. No, the Olympics is every 4 years, and the pressure on Cathy was like no other athlete in the history of Australian sport. Nowhere near what Cathy has done. 0433 98 11 16. I get the case that's been made for it, but in terms of the history of our country, I don't think there's going to be, and it's going to be tough for anything to match what Cathy Freeman did on that night. JJ, hey, does winning a doubles title classify as fulfilling one's potential?
Oh, I wonder why this conversation
I saw some commentary online saying, "Hey, to all the Kyrgios knockers, if he wins a doubles title, has he not reached his potential?" And I'm interested in that thought process.
The term potential is interesting, isn't it, in itself? I don't know if it's the greatest thing he ever achieves. Yeah, there's a few ways to unpack it. You sort of think, well, winning a doubles Grand Slam title is a momentous achievement, but then you'll have people in your corner who say, well, he has the talent to win many singles titles, perhaps even a few singles Grand Slam titles. Now, I come at it from a different point of view. I just think if he don't care, then I don't care. If he's happy where he's at, then he's happy where he's at. So, I mean, I don't know. I'm happy for you to sway me on this one.
Well, no, it doesn't. It doesn't satisfy reaching your potential. I was watching yesterday, and he's by far and away the best player in that court by a mile. Like the class that he is above the rest of those three players on the court is amazing. I'm watching going this, and the want and the desire and the drive to win this tournament is like nothing we've seen from Nick Kyrgios. So, you're not putting anything down by saying winning a doubles championship doesn't reach his full potential. And that's not a knock on anyone that's won a doubles championship. And we'll speak to Sam Stosur, who's won multiple and all that. And there's been many Australians that have won doubles championships. But that is nowhere near digging in for five sets across seven games across 2 weeks at a Grand Slam tournament and fulfilling your potential that way. So no, it doesn't. It's taking nothing away from it. It's been a fun ride. It's been amazing. It's something that we'll all look back on and with fond memories if they can get up, and a terrific achievement. The bond between him and Tanasi is terrific. But this is nowhere near touching Nick's potential. And there was a few more saying, well, hang on, Stanislas Wawrinka, big Stan, didn't win a singles championship until he was 28. Now, Nick's about to turn 27 in April. Can this be the catalyst for him? I'm happy for that conversation, but winning a doubles championship by no way even touches the surface of reaching his potential. 1-300-736-736. You can get involved in our conversation starters this morning. Mitch Robinson has spoken, as he often does, his refreshing voice in the AFL media, JJ, about Cam Ellis-Yeoman.
He is indeed. He on his podcast, Rip Through It, which is a well-named podcast, not as clever as The Field. he spoke about his ex-teammate, now ex-teammate, my ex-teammate, Cam Ellis-Yeoman's decision to basically step away or be removed from AFL because he wasn't willing to have the COVID-19 vaccination. So let's hear what Mitch had to say about that.
I think most of the players understand who is and who isn't getting vaccinated. And Cam wasn't hiding that fact. Like, we knew his situation throughout the whole process of when we first found out that, you know, you kind of have to be vaxxed to play. I've known for a long time the Yeoman's, his situation with it. And it's, I'm not going to get personally to why he hasn't got the vaccination, because that's not my place to say. That's definitely his. But knowing his situation and what he's been going through since it kind of got compulsorised, that he had to, if that's a word, to get it done. And a lot of sympathy for him. With him, we found out that it was officially going to happen on Friday when the judgment day was happening, and they had to get the first jab by. And then there's a few other players in his boat around the league, but he rang me just before the meeting. So obviously he's been talking really closely and doing it, and like, the apparently the club's been really good with this stuff.
You learn something every day. Compulsorised. Chuck that in the vocab. Again, Cam didn't want to front the group. Not front the group, but he didn't want to sort of stand in front of the group and say, look, I'll be, that's it for me because I'm unwilling to get the vaccination. We get it. Everyone's got their right to privacy. But again, I just love to look. It's selfish from me to say it, but we just love to hear from people of any walk of life who are choosing not to get vaccinated and basically therefore giving up a lot of their career, their lifestyle, and just understand a bit more why they feel so strongly. I don't want to ridicule them or critique them at all. Just want to understand why they feel so strongly to basically give up your life.
Yeah, I think standing by that conviction is important, and that was what we discussed about Jack Darling. I wonder what the end game is with this. Is this just, and who knows in what direction the pandemic goes, and none of us can predict that, but is it just, Dan Andrews speaking yesterday about a third dose is now considered fully vaccinated. Does that then filter into the AFL? I'm assuming it does. Does that deter other players from this? And in 2 years' time, are you still going to need to be vaccinated to play? So there's a whole heap of unanswered questions. But right now, what you have to do for your team in a team sport, if you want to be part of that environment, like it or not, is to be vaccinated. And sometimes in a team sport, you have to do things that you as an individual don't want to do.
That's
but you
right.
do it for the betterment of the team. And that's the great thing about team sport. And Novak Djokovic doesn't want to get vaccinated. He's penalising himself, really, and that is fine. It's different in a team sport and a team environment. But in terms of the end game and where it goes and what it's going to look like in 2 years, and whether it's like a flu vaccine and the AFL say, well, it's just like the flu vaccine, you have to have that to be in and around the group, or does that change and does the attitude as the pandemic shifts change? Who knows? Who knows which way it is going to go? The Sydney Sixers are expecting to have an answer from Cricket Australia this morning regarding Steve Smith's ability to play for tonight's BBL final against the Scorchers. The Sixers say there's no suitable players left in the replacement pool. Here's Moses Henrique speaking yesterday.
We didn't know for yesterday's game until about 10:30 in the morning. So, I mean, we're preparing to find out pretty late. But, yeah, we'll see.
Obviously, we've had a couple more injuries from last game and no idea. It depends how deep the COVID pool is that they currently have in place, whether the players in that have been exhausted or not, and whether other teams agree. I don't know, to be honest.
Probably on Henriquez. I've probably pronounced that incorrectly. I've heard both versions, so spare me the shout-outs on the text messages for pronouncing his surname wrong. So this was, took a funny turn really yesterday, didn't it? Dan Christian was on Twitter, and this is where Twitter can be really good. I mean, it's a brilliant dark place for 72% of the time, but it can be a good place. He tweeted yesterday, this is Dan Christian, the all-rounder for the Sixers. Shout out to anyone in Melbourne that wants a game of cricket tomorrow night. My team is struggling to get 11 COVID-free fit players on the park. Warm-up starts at 6:30 at Marvel. Free beer afterwards, potentially out of a large cup. PM if keen. And with an exclamation mark, no test cricketers. So part of it is the COVID stuff, but a lot of it is just bad luck. I mean, there's calf injuries, there's hammy injuries, and that can be, it can be a reflection of a whole host of things. Like I don't have a whole heap of sympathy for them. I'd love to see Steve Smith be able to play, and I think he should be able to play, but I don't have heaps of sympathy for a team with a player that's got a hammy or a calf. So are they soaking it up a little bit?
No, not when you combine the two. No.
Are they defeated before they start?
Not when you combine the two. If they had four soft tissue injuries, you'd say, well, you know, that's bad luck. That can happen to any team. But just when you couple the soft tissue with a few COVID issues, again, I think we had a text yesterday. I didn't get to read it out, but it was, you know, rules are there for a reason. Integrity of the sport. Well, you know what? And maybe it's not this serious, but you know, the text said never put the rules of the sport ahead of, you know, putting a Steve Smith into the game, but the BBL is struggling. So maybe you do need to do something radical. Put Steve Smith, one of the leading players in world cricket, into this game to help spruce it up, to help beef it up, to help bring people through the gate. So from a commercial point of view, I would allow him to play. I would step in just behind closed doors if I was the BBL and say, he's in, he's playing. Because
I'm with you. Captain's call. The governing body overrides.
For the betterment of the sport long term, think big picture. Yeah, Perth will be fuming. Hopefully they still win. But for the betterment of the sport long term, I would let him play.
All right, and a few people texting through. One, this one from Dav. Such a stupid thing to say, Kane. Getting vaccinated is a team thing to do. It's never been more of a team thing to do than getting vaccinated. It's about protecting the healthcare workers and the hospital system. So if you want to think about an unselfish thing to do, getting vaccinated is about one of the more unselfish things to do, Dav. So I just had to acknowledge that ridiculous text message that you just sent through on the temper text. I love our next guest. He's a regular caller. He stirs the pot. We punch on from time to time. His name is Steve. He lives in Lilydale and he wants to speak about Connor Rosie, and no doubt he wants to have a crack at me. Hey, Steve, how was your Christmas? I know it's late, but Happy New Year to you, mate.
Yeah, no, it's good to be back, and good to have you back, Kane. I hope you got your confidence back after I walked all over you last year. So hopefully you got your confidence back over the break. But it's good to be back. Good, looking forward to another year. Josh, I'm Adelaide's a 50% Adelaide supporter, 50% Port Adelaide hater. So 50% of me wants to thank you for years of service. And the other 50% of me wants to thank you for kicking the winning goal in a showdown and then getting in their heads by telling and making up the story about it hitting the post. That's epic trolling. I just want to thank you very much for that, Joshua.
Appreciate that. Go ahead, don't let me stop you from getting in Kane's face.
Oh, I won't do that. Now, you guys have been talking about Connor Rosie, and you've been saying, oh, he's an Adelaide boy, so he won't go. Are you forgetting about the fact that there is a cashed-up team in Adelaide that's got money coming out of his, a young, exciting team that is willing to play? I mean, Joshua, you can testify, Justin Reid's a good player, and he pays good for the long-term contracts too. So why wouldn't Connor Rosie? Adelaide would be there with a checkbook, ready to throw money at Connor Rosie. We've already nailed the 2018 draft with Chase Jones and Ned McHenry. Why not put Connor Rosie in there as well, Kane?
Well, this is the funny thing about you Crows clowns. Wow. You'll bag Connor Rosie and you'll say he's no good when he's playing for Port Adelaide. The minute you think he's gettable, you'll say, let's pay him the big bucks and he's an absolute superstar. Steve, it's good to chat to you as always. Thanks for getting involved in the show. Let's go to Mike, who wants to speak about Novak. What's your thoughts, Mike?
My thoughts are it's going to be a hollow victory without him there. I mean, he's world number one. They could have had billions of people watching. Instead, all they got is a mess, and they'll have to, in the record books, I put an asterisk saying, you know, it was that Novak Djokovic wasn't there. He was banned for disobedience for not injecting a drug he and everybody else knows nothing about.
Righto. Good on you, Mike. Thanks for your conspiracy theories this morning. I mean, there's been great players missing from
at the risk
Grand
of
Slam events for years.
Being dismissive, no chance.
Yeah, no, there'll be no asterisks next to that. Righto, this is our conversation starter for Pope. Deceptively clever irrigation made right here in Australia. Pope's drip ease will make it a breeze.